All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. So we're going to be in James chapter 3. So if you'd like to turn there, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And the memory verse that is in the handout is James 3:8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, the last time I spoke, I tried real hard to make it practical and applicable for the youth. And I really thought that, you know, there were some good take-home points there. But like a week later, when I went to the youth and said, "Can you name any point from my message last week?" No one could name a single one. Now, I will give credit to Tessa, because when I asked her, although she didn't know, she ran upstairs, grabbed her notes, and had everything written down. So she does get some credit for that. So today, I've taken one extra step. Today, I have three gift cards for three different individuals who will be able to answer three questions at the end of this message. Daniel, you don't qualify. It's for everyone 12th grade and below. 12th grade and below. Now, since I'm such a kind teacher, I'm going to give you the questions ahead of time. And here are, I'm not going to tell you where they're too. Here are the questions. Question number one is going to be, quote me at least one verse that I use in the message today. Quote me at least one verse that I use in the message today. Well, it's still beneficial. The second one is, name the three teaching points that I use today. Name all three teaching points that I use today. And the third one is, at the end of this message, tell me how you're going to use your tongue differently than you did before this message. Tell me how you're going to use your tongue differently after this message than you did before. Now, I remember when I worked at the Christian camp one summer a number of years back, we had a speaker that came in. I think it was for boys camp. And he came in and he talked about the book of James. And like multiple presentations each day throughout the week was about James. And I'll never forget, he always went back to what he called the theme verse of the book. Now, he identified the theme verse as James 1:19 that says, "My brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You've probably all heard that. One quick and two slows. So, today I want to talk about one part of that verse, and that is about our tongue. Slow to speak. Now, this is a message that we can all relate to, because we all have a tongue, and we all speak. We all, if you will, have some sort of tongue disease. Okay? So, this problem is so large. It caused the psalmist to write in Psalm, "Oh, you deceitful tongue." That's what he called the tongue. So we're going to look at the problem of the tongue, and we're going to look at a solution to this problem. Now, Sunday school is actually a very good lead-up to this. Okay, because you had said in Sunday school, this is a hard lesson to teach about judging. Well, this is even harder, it seems like, because it actually says in here, unless you're a perfect man, you mess up with your tongue. So, everyone turn to James chapter 3, It's funny, you know, we judge with our tongue. It seems like so much relates back to what we do with our what we do with our tongue. So we're going to look at a few points. There are 3 points. Ding, ding, ding. 3 points that we're going to talk about today. The first point is this. The tongue affects the whole body. The tongue affects the whole body. James 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So, clearly God gave us a tongue. And it has its function and it has its purposes. We use it to talk. We use it, we taste food with it, okay? We use it to chew our food. But talking seems to be the part that gets us in trouble. Now, when you're talking about the tongue and at times how we can be at fault in the use of our tongue, this applies to children, to youth, to adults, to everybody, because we all have problems with our tongue. And if you think about how powerful the tongue is, what James says is that it's so powerful, it controls the entire body. So, James 3 goes on to give us some examples, okay, to demonstrate this point. So, example number 1 is in verse 3. So, example number 1 is the bit in a horse's mouth. Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole bodies. Now, some of you may know that Lacey took horse lessons for a while. And this was a big horse. This was huge. And this was when, like, she was 5 years old. She was so tiny on this horse. And she was in this big fenced-in area on this horse, directing it which way to go. I mean, this horse could have just tossed her off anytime he wanted. But because of that bit, she could make it go to the right, she could make it go to the left. She controlled the whole body of that horse. Example number 2, verse 4. A ship's rudder. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. When I was young, when I was in third and fourth grade and I was living in Maine, I used to go out and work on lobster boats. And I used to get $20 a day. Or 2 lobsters was my choice. So I could take home 2 lobsters, they'd give me $20 a day. That was a lot of money for third, fourth grade, back when I was in that grade. So I would have done it for free. I had a great time. But I do remember one thing. On the way back, after we got all of our lobsters, they used to put a bucket upside down in front of the steering wheel and let me drive. For a portion of it, you know, not the whole way. But I'll never forget how easy it was to control that boat. You know, I could take my finger and go like this on the wheel, and that boat would go like this. It was not hard. Very easy. Big boat, lots of stuff on it, and it was very easy to control. Now, keeping with Daniel's theme about the Titanic, celebrating the 100-year, I found a few other things that might be interesting about the Titanic. So, using a few websites, I found out the Titanic's rudder was over 70 feet long and 15 feet wide. It weighed just over 100 tons. But when you compare it to the entire ship's weight, it was 0.002% of the ship's weight. Yet it controlled the whole ship. You want to know what the percentage is for the human tongue? Even less. 0.0008% is what the human tongue is for the average man. Yet it controls the whole body, is what we read here. James 3:5, the beginning portion of that. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Example number 3. A small spark can create large fires. Second portion of verse 5 says, See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So, you know, we've heard about this. Someone leaves their campfire unattended or a spark or something, and the whole forest can burn down. Example number four. Humans have tamed all kinds of animals, but not the tongue. James 3, 7 through 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, when we were at SeaWorld earlier this year, it was amazing to see how these tamed animals behave. I mean, not only were birds flying, like, on a course, if you will. I mean, like, kept their line exactly in circles, and dolphins were jumping over this, and, you know, a 1,500-pound walrus comes out and does what you want it to do at the right time. We have tamed animals, but we have not tamed our tongue. So, just as the bit on a ship, for a horse, the rudder of the ship, a small spark, all of those together have great effects, even though they're small in size. But also, so is the tongue. Albeit it's small, it controls our whole body. So, teaching point number one, the tongue affects the whole body. Teaching point number two, the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verse 8. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. There are many ways in which the tongue is used. Now, I've come up with a list of ways that it's used to coincide with this point that are not good. So number one, complaining. In Numbers, the Israelites complained, and they said in chapter 11, verse 1, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Ding, 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 verse. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Further on in that chapter, it says, so Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Complaining also burdens our spiritual leaders. Complaining also burdens our spiritual leaders. Complaining is one thing that we do with our tongue. We gossip with our tongue. We have sinful talk with our tongue. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, Proverbs says. We use reckless words. Proverbs also says, reckless words pierce like a sword. Some lie with their tongue. The Lord detests lying lips. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And of course, sharp words. Sometimes I think particularly married couples can relate to this maybe a little bit, that we find ourselves in disagreements or whatnot, and sometimes our words can be sharp. Psalmist wrote, I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among the ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And of course, there's perverse speech. There's a perverse tongue. Referring to the effects of the misuse of the tongue, William MacDonald wrote in his commentary this quote. It says, the tongue can poison minds and assassinate characters. Who can measure the harm done? The tears that have flowed, the broken hearts, the ruined reputations. Who can measure that? And who can measure the misery it has brought to our own lives? So the tongue doesn't just affect others. It affects our own lives. And who can measure the misery it has brought to our own lives and to our families? The price we have to pay for the undisciplined use of our tongue is enormous. So verses 9 through 12 tells us how the tongue is also conflicting at times. It praises God on one hand, yet it curses men on the other. Verses 9 through 12. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, teaching point number two, the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The last teaching point number three, we've kind of seen the problem so far. Okay? It controls the whole body, it's full of deadly poison, and in fact, James said in verse 2, nope, not verse 2, he said in this chapter, verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. So what is the solution? No man can tame it. In fact, in this section of chapter 3, he doesn't give, if you will, a verse that says, to remedy this, take this, do this. There's no verse like that here. If anything, it says, no one can tame it. Well, point number three is this. Jesus is the best source of help for our tongue problem. Jesus is the best source of help for our tongue problem. There must be a solution. You know, verse 10 says, these things ought not to be so. So if they're not to be, there must be a solution. Jesus is the best source of help for our tongue problem. Now, in order to have access to this help, we need to be believers. There's no question there. In order to access this help, we need to be believers. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Only through Christ are our sins forgiven, and we even have access to this help and can implement point number three. So, a couple things or a couple exhortations that James does give us throughout this book in chapters 1 through 5 that may help also in this situation are the following five things I found. Number one, be doers of the word. If we're doing the word, we're putting on the mind of Christ. And we have the word in our mind. Number two, submit to God. Submit to God. Number three, humble ourselves. You know, a lot of what comes out here comes from right in here, in our heart, in our mind. We need to be humble Christians. We talked about that in Sunday school. Be patient. James gives us the exhortation to be patient in chapter 5. And of course, also in chapter 5, pray for one another. These are some exhortations that gets our mind where it should be. So, prayer, time with God, filling our mind with Scripture. Psalm 39:1 says, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. Fill our minds with the Lord. Test me, O Lord. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Psalm 26. So as we memorize Scripture, and we read Scripture, and we fill our minds with this, these are some of the ways that we can tap into that can help us with our tongue. Now, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? That mind was being humble. Goes on in that section of, of Scripture to say how humble Christ was and also to be obedient. It talks about how he was obedient. We need to be humble and we need to be obedient if we're going to control our tongue. I went back, visited a church I used to go to a number of years back, and I was talking to a mentor of mine, and I said, "Oh, is so-and-so still an elder?" And he goes, "No." And it had only been a few years since I, at this church. And I said, "Oh." He goes, "Yeah, this." And he grabbed his tongue and goes, "This." That particular elder had a tongue problem. And it cost him, in that case, his eldership. Youth. How can we watch our tongue? How can we help with our tongue in addition to these things? Choose your friends wisely. Because before you know it, you'll be talking like they talk. You'll be talking like they talk. There's no adult here that would disagree with that. Who you hang around with is who you become like. Back in the early 90s when I was up at camp, and Dwight used to come there, all of us wanted to be near Dwight. Because he always had good things to say. And we were like sponges and we wanted to soak that up. That's a good way to be. But we have other people or other friends in our lives that are not like that. They're not even Christians. And we get close to them. And you may not think you're soaking it up, but you are. And before you know it, it'll come right out of here. So be careful about the movies you watch. Because what you see is what's going to come out. A mentor of mine told me something real, real simple one time. What goes in is what comes out. What goes in is what comes out. So, point number three, and the last point, is Jesus is the best source of help for our tongue problem. So in conclusion, there are some positive things that can come out of the use of the tongue when Jesus is in control and we've implemented some of these exhortations that we've just heard. He who restrains his lips is wise, Proverbs 10 says. The lips of the righteous feed many. And the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous bring forth wisdom. And the truthful lip shall be established forever. So, even though Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, we can rest assured in James 1:19 that tells us that we need to be slow to speak. And just like the psalmist wrote, this should be our prayer. If you don't know what else to do about your problem tongue, here's one thing. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. We have to have a mindset. We have to intentionally act to control this tongue. It doesn't come naturally, because no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. Okay. So, if this doesn't work, I'm going back to the drawing board. Question number one for anyone 12th grade and lower.
Be repeated.
I haven't asked a question yet. Question number one. The first one to stand gets it. All right? And I'm not going to do them in order. So be careful. Because you might stand up for the wrong question. Question number one. How is someone going to use their tongue differently now? Right there.
Focus on choosing my friends and choosing what I watch and what I read.
Very good. Very good. All right. Question number two. Quote one verse that I used. Sounds good. Very good. Is that the NIV version? No. All right. Last question. Last question is, I had four teaching points. Three teaching points. You have to be able to tell these teaching points without looking at your notes. Without looking at your notes. I'm going to give you a second. Look at your notes. Look at your notes. Down. I'm giving everyone a second. Look at your notes. Three teaching points. First one, standing. One, two, three.
The tongue affects the whole body. The tongue is an unbelievable death. And Jesus is the best source of help for our
tongue. Wow. I'm impressed. All right. The winners can come get their gift cards after we pray. Good job. That works. I'm happy with that. Would anyone like to share anything else or add to or share a story? I think it went well along with Sunday school. Because really, judging is the use of our tongue. Of course, we do it up here a lot, but we also verbalize that. So I think that was the Lord knew what He was doing in combining those two today for sure. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for these words and this scripture, and we pray that we would seek You in order to receive the help we need for the use of our tongue. And we confess that our tongues are not in line with Your desire for our behavior. And we would pray that You would help us each and every day to seek You and to utilize our tongue to glorify You and to praise You and to live for You. We would just ask for Your help in that. And we thank You for the opportunity we've had to review this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.